Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're here live. Thank you for being with us. And we're in some very, very good good night tonight already. Just got some really cool things I want to share. Thank God for revelation from Jesus and just the personal touch of the Lord and what he does with us. It's so amazing. You know, I think that, make sure you can call into the show. Let's do that first. 214-505-8719. You can text me at that. Let me know that you're on. And here's the number you get on with to get onto the show. All right, 319-527-6027. 319-527-6027. Tonight we're going to minister just to people. We're not going to be talking. You know, we love to talk. We have fun talking. You never know. I could talk to somebody for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever, just depending on what's going on. We love our PGN family. Yeah, it's been amazing. Our PGN family has been absolutely amazing. Our host, our family. Really, really exciting what God has been doing, and we're so excited where we're headed. And the pressure is on. That's what I want to talk about tonight. The pressure is on. And that pressure manifests in many different ways. So I want to talk about that tonight. And, you know, one thing I wanted to tell you tonight is that, you know, the Lord is with you. We're going through things we've never gone before, gone through before, right? We've never gone through these things before. I want to say go through. We've never gone through. We've never been going through things like this. And it is a most amazing time. And, and God is, you know, letting us know that he's with us. And he does it through personal relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He does it through, you know, prophetic words. He does it through teaching. He does it through, you know, your pastors, your leaders, whoever they are in your life, your personal friends, you know, the people around you. But it doesn't matter how many people are going to be around you. Here's what I want to share first tonight. It doesn't matter how many people you have around you, you know, and that are for you. People can be for you all the way. And I think sometimes people misunderstand when I talk about being alone, what I mean by that, because I haven't made it clear. I'm not even sure always what I'm talking about, except I just start sharing with you what I'm going through and what I'm feeling. My spirit and the purpose of it all. So when we talk about being alone, many times I don't mean that, you know, I don't have people that are for me, because I do. I always do. PGN, our PGN family has been for me personally, you know, because I'm, you know, the leader of this ministry, and I've never had so many people for me on my side, letting me know that, you know, we've gone through all the situations with Trump and Biden, and the pressure was on, and the prophecy we were given were like, you know, being contradicted by everybody. And in those moments, I felt alone. I wasn't alone, not completely, of course, because our family, our PGN family, I've never seen such commitment and friendship and love from our host, from, you know, our family, the way people have given, the way people have loved. It's just been amazing. So I want to make sure no one has said anything to me. I haven't anybody complain, oh, well, we were on your side and you feel like you're alone. Nobody's even said that to me at all. But I just want to kind of talk about this for a minute to try to explain even more so what I'm talking about, because you're going to go through it. You're going to be, you know, like we went through the Trump election, Trump Trump-Biden election, and we were stood alone in that as a prophet. God had spoken to me about that, and I stood alone on that. But I wasn't alone as far as PGN friends and our host, and they were very much for me all the way around. I don't know if they believed everything we always said. I don't know. Nobody ever said anything negative to me at all. It was amazing. Now, old PGN people who were for Trump did email me and say, you know, some pretty rough things. But other than that, it was just amazing. So in the sense sometimes we feel alone, it's not that we don't have somebody with us like Job and his wife. You know, Job and his wife, I mean, they went through a turmoil. You talk about going through pressure. You talk about a COVID situation worldwide that put pressure on the globe. They just lost all their family. And him and her were alone, in a sense. And Job was alone himself in his own world because everybody was looking to him to, you know, what did you do wrong for bringing this upon us, you know? And his own wife had to be going through those thoughts. I mean, she was a human being. She had to be thinking, okay, I love you no matter what, but what you've been doing, boy, what you've been doing, tell me. It's okay. I forgive you. I love you. You know, let's just get this thing taken care of. You know, I'm sure those thoughts went through her mind. In fact, she even said, you know, curse God and die. You might as well just go ahead and curse God and die. And I don't think she was being unfaithful and disloyal wife. But in some senses, I think the pressure that she was under made her feel all alone herself. She's going like, do I really know this guy? I mean, I know him, but do I really know? Is there something I don't know about him? You know, this is common things that go on with human beings, friend. This is not some special, you know, weird person thinking. This is the human realm that we live in. And we got to, I think, come to an awareness of that more and more all the time so we can have compassion on people and understand that when they're going through a time of weakness, it doesn't mean that that's them. It just means that God's bringing them through a weakness to reveal their weakness to them so they can conquer it. And they may act out in weakness for a temporary moment. And we need to understand that and have compassion for people. But Job fell alone. So did his wife. His wife felt completely alone, especially the loss of all of her children. You know, your children are a lot to you. They had, I don't know how many kids they had, 12, 8, 10, 12. I can't remember exactly, but there were several of them, and they're gone, just like that. Boom, the wealth is gone. Boy, you ought to have that put on you sometime. God forbid, right? I definitely don't want that. That dude was top. But, friend, I think God wanted him to, you know, even though his wife was with him, because, you know, later they had more children. I mean, they didn't get divorced, right? They stuck together through all that. You talk about sticking together. You talk about not being alone. When your wife probably thinks, you know, you've been doing something wrong somewhere or another because all this stuff coming on us, you know, even your counselors or even your own counsel is telling you you've done something wrong, you know, it's okay, Job, I love you. Just get it. So in that sense, he had to feel like his wife was with him, and I'm sure he felt the love of his counselors, but at the same time, he felt alone in that, you know, all the whole world was saying he was responsible for the loss of his children, for the loss of his family, for everything. And he's going like, you know, I mean, I have nothing hidden. There's nothing really hidden. I mean, you know, I'm a human being, but there's no sin that would cause nothing. And he felt alone. God wanted him to feel alone. And his wife felt alone too. She was going, I'm all by myself in this thing. You know, I lost my children. You know, it was devastating, and yet God brought them through that. They ended up, you know, of course, staying married. You know, they stuck together. What is that? That's not being alone. They stuck together, but in a sense that they, even though they stuck together, in the individual part of their life, you know, God will bring you to a place, friend, of feeling alone with Him. He wants you to be alone with Him. God is jealous. It doesn't mean He doesn't want you to have a wife or a husband or children or things. It just means that He wants to be first in our lives. And so sometimes that feeling alone, as I've talked about a little bit before, is that it causes you to, you know, somehow find solace in God. God, where are you? I feel alone. Sure, my husband's with me. Sure, my wife is with me. Sure, my children, you know, and my mom, and like all they really want from me is, you know, things and stuff. And dad, the same way. I work hard. Man, nobody really appreciates me. I mean, I remember my dad talking like that when I was a kid. My dad, you know, I mean, people go through battles, man. We're human beings. And sometimes you feel all alone. You know what? And God wants that. He wants that alone place. He allows that to happen. He allowed it to happen to Job. It was part of his. It was part of his testing. It was part of his trouble. It was part of his. Part of the thing. You know, just like with PGN. You know, even though I felt alone in the fact that, you know, the words that I was giving, you know, nobody else was giving. God, you know, instituted those words through me and pioneered those words through me. So I couldn't blame them on somebody else when it looked like, you know, it was all going to fall apart. You know, oh, my God, you know, how can you say the things you said? Because if Trump wins one of those lawsuits, you said he wasn't going to win any of them. He, I think, had like 50 or 60 of them, bunches of them. And if he wins one, you're a false prophet, so to speak. And it's like, you know, I was feeling alone in that. It was exciting, but it was lonely. It was lonely. And even though people, you know, were comforting me and saying, you know, I remember Tanisha and Tarek, I remember Tanisha specifically telling me, you know, and others saying that, you know, Randy, you know, God is using you, man. The words you're saying are coming to pass. It's amazing. You know, there weren't very many people doing that, but our PGN family was doing it at certain levels. Certain people were doing that. And some people are scared to death to tell me things because they think that they're intruding on my prophetness or something. I don't know what they think, but I understand. So it's like they're afraid to tell me, you know, okay, it's going to be, because they're not even sure it's going to be fine, right? It's like, we're not sure it's going to be fine, but we're with you here. We're trying to, we're hanging in there. We love you. We bless you. You know? So in that sense, I didn't feel alone at all. Not alone at all. But that there was, God was doing something in my life. He was bringing me to a whole other level with him that I've never known in my life. I had an explosion happen in my belly with the reverence and fear and awe of God that was like, because I was laying in the bed, and just when I heard that Biden won, I mean, I was just like laying there going, oh, God, you know, when's this going to end? When's this thing going to get over with? You know, God, come on, Jesus, today's 11-34, today's the 7th, it's Saturday. This is the day that if that 11-34 means that it's going to show forth. And sure enough, that day they announced that Biden won it, according to all the outlets, the news outlets. And boom, an explosion in my spirit, friend. I was feeling alone. Even though people were with me and they were supporting me, you know, it's like you have that physical support, that outward support, and you appreciate it and you value it, because if you don't have it, you really know it. But you never can. Nobody can ever know who you really are and what you're really going through. You can't. Sometimes you can't even tell people what you're going through. Sometimes you can't even say to people, man, and be detailed with them, because if you did, they'd be like going, man, you're crazy. You know, you're losing your mind. And you're not losing your mind, and you're not crazy. But Jesus understands, and he knows, and he wants that place in our life where we can talk to him and share with him. He's jealous over that area. He doesn't want – sometimes he doesn't allow you to share some of that stuff with other people because he wants it between you and him. That's why when I talk about whining, the people whining and complaining, and I've done my share of it. Oh, telling everybody, trying to get people to feel sorry for them. I've done that. I've done it. That's why God corrected me. He said, what are you doing? You know, what's your motive with all that? I'm going, well, you know, stop it. Stop it. And he wasn't telling me to stop it because I was doing something so horrible. He was saying, Randy, I want you to have that intimacy with me. Share that with me. Don't. Yes, you've got people in your life that love you, but nobody's going to understand you like I do. I'm the only one. I made you. I created you, and I'm making you for your future, and I'm the only one who totally and completely understands every part of your being. So please share it all with me. I want you to tell me. You know what it's like when a wife tells a husband their most intimate fears and pain and heartache and, you know, mistakes and failures. I mean, it just makes the husband feel like, man, I'm not worthy of this. This is amazing. This is wow. I feel, you know, like she trusts me. And the same thing with a husband telling a wife, you know, the weaknesses and crying. And I've never seen you cry before, honey. What's going on? What's going on? It just opens them up to go, oh my gosh, honey, yes, come here. And I mean, it solidifies your relationship, right, in a brand new way. Like, oh my God, he needs me. You know, he cried in my arms. You know, I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And that's exactly how Jesus, friend, that's how God feels about you and me. How much he wants that from us. Yes, you can share it with others, isn't it? But go to him first. Share it with him first.
He's jealous over that. He doesn't want you to share with them first. Yeah, you can share it with them, but share it with them second. Okay? Give it to them, but give it to them second or third. You know, he wants it first. He wants it first. You know what I'm talking about. When your child comes up to you and tells you, Mommy, today, you know, at school, and nobody knows this, and please don't tell anybody, but, you know, somebody hurt me and wounded me and told me I was lesbian and I didn't want to tell nobody, but I trust you, Mommy. And, you know, I mean, what does a mother do with that? You just grab that child and go, my God. Oh, Jesus. How beautiful is that? How connected is it that is? It's just amazing. The friend I know, I don't have to say I'm speaking to one person out there. No, I know I am. But I'm speaking to everybody because everybody has that. God made you like that. That's you. And when you figure that out, and when you figure out that he wants you to tell him first, it doesn't mean you can't tell your wife. It doesn't mean that child can't tell their mother. It doesn't mean that husband can't cry in their wife's arms, but he wants you to cry in his arms first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Give to you Jesus first. And then he'll let you cry and connect with your wife or your husband or your children or whatever is going on. But he created that lonely spot inside you that cannot be filled by anybody else. It's the holy of holies between you and God. Oh my God. It's so amazing. And if you're sharing that with anybody first, I mean, maybe we just don't really know what we're doing. We don't even understand. That's why I'm talking about it. That's why I want to share it with you. Because you know what? When you become intimate with God, God knows everything about you. He knows everything you do. But when you tell him, when you talk to him, if you can see your child struggling, battling, but when they come to you and you're used to them not telling anybody anything, and when they talk to you, it's like it's a miracle. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe my son's in here telling me this stuff and the pain he's going through. It's like it's not him. It's not normal. Oh my God, you know what an intimate time this is. I'll relish this the rest of my life, friend. That's how God feels. It's not that we can't have it with others. He just wants us to have it with him first because that's what it does with him. He goes, man, you know, even though I know everything about you, I see everything you do, I see every thought, I know every motive, I know everything, but when you come to me and you say, God, you know, I'm really lusting after that money, I'm really lusting after that woman, I'm really lusting after that man, I'm really lusting after those things, that power, and if I'm really lusting, oh, God, you know, I don't want to be like this, Jesus, help me. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. He'll come running to you, friend. He wants you to give it to him first. Trust him first. Love him first. Be intimate with him first. Tell him your deepest secrets. He understands. He already knows anyway. But there's a difference between him knowing and then you come. He's like a parent can see a child go through stuff and kind of knows generally what's going on with them. But when they come and tell them what's going on, it's like a connection happens. Something beautiful goes on. And you can't replace that with anything. The beauty of that is absolutely amazing. And God just, he loves it. He loves it. He wants it. Please give it to him. And he'll be happy with me for telling you. And I like that. I want him to be happy with me. I want him to say, good job, Randy. Thank you for bringing my people back to me in that way. Where it's not just a surface relationship where, you know, I know everything about them, but they're not sharing it with me. They're not telling me because they think I already know. They're trying to hide it from me. They don't know. If they'll just come to me, and you know, but I can't force it on you. I can't make you do it. I need it to be willingly. When Jesus said, can this cup pass from me? Oh, God. Do you understand what that meant for Jesus to admit that or say that to his Father? Do you know how weak that was of him? Not sinful, but weak and vulnerable. And why do you think the Father? Why do you think the Father loved him so much? Because Jesus totally trusted him with everything. He already knew the Father knew everything about him and everything he ever thought, everything, every temptation, every struggle, every battle. He already knew the Father knew all that. But he didn't just, the Father knowing it, Jesus talked to him about it. When he's time in prayer, he wasn't just saying, oh, God, pour out the glory of God on me so I can be used by God. He was doing that too, but he was saying, Father, you know, today I just feel like quitting. I feel like giving up. I don't know what to do. You know, Father, help me. Show me the way. I feel like, you know, I could mess this up. I need help. Father, God. And he opened up his most vulnerable, weak areas of his life. And the Father loved it. The Father loves that, friend. He loves that. He's not shamed by your motives and intentions that are stink to high heaven. He's not offended by that when you bring it to him. He goes, yeah, I know. It's okay. I love you. I'm going to change you. Just talk to me about it. Just talk to me about it. That's what prayer is, man. It's talking to him about your most intimate feelings, your pain, your heartache, your troubles, the things you can't tell anybody else because you don't feel safe. He doesn't want you to feel totally safe with anybody else. That's part of the deal. You're not feeling that way because you're a skeptical, you know, paranoid freak. That's not it. He doesn't want you to totally trust another person. He wants you to totally trust him. And it forms and shapes that relationship with him that nothing else does, just like it does with it. Could you imagine if you're married, yet your husband comes to you, or some man from your boss coming to you and saying, man, you know, I really need help. I really need prayer. And you've never seen him be weak before. You've never seen him do. You know, when he pours out his heart to you and says, please keep this private. Please, I'm just battling. And I'm not talking about some unclean thing. I'm talking about something just pure and innocent. And beautiful. What does that do? From that time on, when you pray and you bless and you love and you forgive and you understand, you say, I'm with you. You know, I don't understand everything you're going through, and not trying to be, you know, Mr. Know-it-all or Mrs. Know-it-all, just like I'm with you, I'm for you. Just to know somebody's with you, it's awesome. What does that do to your relationship with that boss or that friend or whoever it is? It connects you with a pure love. It's a beautiful thing. The friend, the reason I'm saying this is parabolically, I'm talking about us and the Father. I'm using this as a parable tonight. The Lord Jesus is saying this is a parable, Randy. Because you know what it's like when somebody does that with you, in your family, in your friendships. You know that. Friend, we have let me tell you what we have. I know you already know, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We have a friend, none other. There's none other like him. And I know we know that, but if you can hear what I'm saying tonight, I think it might help you. Jesus was tempted in every way that we were. That's why he's such a beautiful high priest. That's why in Hebrews it says he's the perfect high priest. There's none better because he never sinned, but he felt the pressure of the sin, and even though he was the sinless Son of God with the power of God on him, it was hard for him. And so he's going, man, how do these people feel that don't have what I have? This has got to be horrible for them. The spirit of temptation and Satan coming to tempt them. It's like even I was like, okay, well, maybe I, you know. But no, he said, no, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He's like, he understands the pressure. He understands the problem. He understands how powerful it is. And sometimes when you fail and you fall, he doesn't go, yeah, you slime back. No, he goes, oh, God. Oh, he's interceding before the Father for you and me, friend. He intercedes because he's a man. He's a real human being. Could you imagine how God did this? He put a real human being at the right hand of the Father, intercede for you, counseling for you, going to the court for you on your behalf, knowing that when you failed and you sinned and you blew it and you messed up, that he's saying, now, okay, I gave my life for them, God. Father, you know. Do not hold that against them. Do not hold that against them, Father. I know what it's like, Father God. It's horrible. It's difficult. It's so excruciating, the pressure of sin and temptation. And I can't even imagine what it was like had I not been pure and innocent and had the power of God on me. I would have fallen. And when they fall, oh God, Father, I understand. It's by your mercy and your grace that I didn't fall. Jesus said that. I believe Jesus talked to his Father about that. I believe he was open and honest about that. I think that's what he experienced. He couldn't be a true high priest if those temptations weren't real and the potential for him to fall was not real. It would not be real. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, My little children, listen to this, my little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have a counselor, paraclete, helper, intercessor, advocate, comforter with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's a human being. He's ever before the Father on your behalf, friend. When you fail and you make up, that's when you make mistakes, that's why he says there's no condemnation in Christ, because when you come to him, he already understands the pressure. He never sinned, yielded to it, but he almost did. He could have. He didn't. And he understands when you fail. He understands when you sin. He understands if you can cry out to him and believe God, Jesus Christ, the righteous one who understands how easy it is to fall in unrighteousness. In the book of Jude, it says, chapter 1, verse 24, says, now to him who is able to keep them from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory in great joy. Friend, we got a real human being. His name is Jesus, a real human being. He's not some mystical angel, he's been here, he knows. He's felt the pressure of Satan himself. He struggled, he battled, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He battled, he struggled, he knows the power of all that. And that's why he said he's the one that's been chosen now to him who is able to keep them from stumbling. That's what he's ever interceding for, is to help you keep from stumbling. But when you stumble, you have an advocate with the Father. Yes, he doesn't want us to sin, but when we do, he understands, he knows the pressure, he knows the power. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't say, oh, you stupid, that you're never going to get it. No, he says he's praying for you because he knows. And he's able to keep them from stumbling and present you faultless. That's what he's working on, is to present us faultless before the presence of his glory in great joy. Hallelujah. Man, I got so much to talk about this tonight. I want to just pour this into your being because God's pouring it into my being. Said, Randy, this is the high priest. This is not the high priest. Jesus is the high priest. This is the priest I want you to be. And friend, this is the priest God wants you to be. You don't have to be called to the ministry 500 to be that kind of. We're a kingdom of priests. Whether you're fivefold ministry or not, it doesn't make any difference. We're all a kingdom of priests. Why? Because we have the king in us, the priest in us, who's been through all of it and knows how difficult it is and knows that it's possible to win. We're going to win. Just don't give in. We're going to win. Sorry. Don't give in. We're going to win. Hallelujah. Don't give in. We are going to win. So when you feel alone, let me finish up here and then I'll move on. So when you feel alone, friend, when I say I feel alone, it's not like people are not for me. It's just that nobody can ever fill that spot. If they did, it would be an abomination. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what, my wife, every woman wants her husband to
you know, but every husband wants their wife or their woman or their, you know, whoever. Every mother wants their children to give them that place, you know, because that's just the way, that's what we want. That's what God wants. But they can't. God won't allow it. So when I talk about being alone, I don't mean that we don't have people on my side. I know I do. More than ever. It's amazing. But I think God's trying to teach us this secret area, this very private holy of holies in our life that only God can have. We won't let anybody else have it. That's how jealousy is. I'm not going to let anybody else have that. Nobody can fill that position, Randy. Nobody. Nobody. So if you let them, you might find yourself in some warfare with them. God gets you. I don't care if it's your wife. I don't care if it's your husband. I don't care who it is. Nobody fills that place right now. When you start letting somebody try to fill that place, God gets really, I mean, he gets, you know what jealousy does? God is jealous. And he'll say, no, not her. Only me. And when you seek me first, then I'll give you a love for your wife. I'll give you a love for your husband. I'll give you a love for your children that you'll never even be able to. It'll be much greater than your own personal love. Just give all your love to me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy might, thy strength, everything to him. Not to anybody else, to him. And then he will give you love for whatever you need, and it will be an abundant love. I lay down your life for love. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm telling you. I've seen it. I've felt it. I've experienced it, and I want more of it. Amen? All right. So when I say talk about feeling alone, God wants you all to feel alone. You may have the most support team in your whole life, but there's times. Well, it's not just about there's times. I want to make sure I say this correctly. It's not just there's times you're going to feel alone. You are alone in that one area of your life, and you will never have fellowship with anybody but God. You will always be alone. Always. The only person that you can fellowship with in that area of your life is God. Other areas, God says, okay, as long as you keep me first. I'll bless it. I'll nurture it. I'll take care of it for you. I'll help you be the best husband, the best wife, the best mother, the best father, the best business person, the best minister, whatever it is. I will make you the best. Just keep me first. Sometimes when I think we're really feeling lonely, I think maybe it's because we're not letting God be that to us. I think that's when the loneliness sometimes really sits in. But it's there all the time. It never goes away. It can't go away. You're created to be like that. Okay? I think you kind of know that. I know that. But God reminds me all the time. And don't forget to tell my people. Let me tell my people. I want to talk to my people. Let me tell them why I made that like that so they won't think that there's no cure for their loneliness. There is no cure for your loneliness that in that particular area of your life, no cure for it except God. No man, no woman, no perfect love. God is the only perfect love. He can bring you a beautiful husband and wife, maybe the ones you already have, can turn them into something special. All right. Okay, let's, wow, that was, y'all going on a trip with me on that? I went on a trip on that one. And I got a lot more to talk about that. I mean, man, I got so much revelation today. Man, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So thank God for those around you. Just know that, you know, when you're feeling alone, it's not like you need some human hand to hold your hand, because sometimes we do need that. God does allow that. God does open up that for us, because he made us to want that. He made us to want that. But it's second. It's not first. And it's a very important second, because it's second to God, right? It's not just second to some happy, something. No, it's second to God. That's how beautiful it is. That's how beautiful relationships can be, how important they are. Not like they're unimportant. They're extremely important, but they're not number one important. They're number two. Number two compared to God. That's pretty good. Your wife or your husband or your children are number two. All right? God is first. That's really beautiful. All right, let's take callers tonight. Wow. Okay, if you haven't called in tonight, it's okay. We're going to go now. So people used to be going for about an hour these days. But I'm going to stop right now because, I mean, that 30 minutes that I just gave you, I gave it all to the best I could, although I have a lot more. I would love to take the next step into the next level, but we're gonna take callers tonight. So, all right, thank you for being with us, and thank you for your support of PGN and that sense of PGN. I never feel alone. Never feel alone. Never. So anybody who's thought that, maybe anybody's tempted, no, never. Not with support of PGN, never. My God, PGN has been the amazing place of people that I've ever seen in my life. God told me one day he'd bring me friends who are his friends. I mean, you can't beat that. Yes. Can you pray for our oldest son, Darius, also tonight, Randy? Yes. Thank you, Donald Conn. Yes, I would love to do that. All right. And then it's the Lord who knows the future, no one else. So when we prophesy that it's the Lord, not angels, not human, true prophecy, it is the mind words of God coming from him. He did not tell us the future knowing we would fail. He said, Mike, I don't lie to you sometimes. I told you what I was going to be to do through you. So did my other prophets do you remember? I can't read all this. So that's a lot. That's really awesome. I believe it's enough. And you're festify in here, and you're testify, and you're testifies, enough. You sound like you're speaking into this. That's what mine looks like when I speak into it. I don't always feel everything right. Yeah. Anyway, we'll get into that. Thank you, Jesus, for everything everybody's doing. Try to make your text short and quick if you can. Testimony. Okay, yeah. There you go. Yeah, when the words aren't right, I can't, you know, I'm already in a zone, so I can't, and it's hard to, so I'll check your spelling. So every time I send I speak into my phone to send people messages, I look at it later and go, oh, sorry. So the things that it looked like you said, you weren't saying, but that's what it did, right? Yeah, so, anyway, all right. So, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody, let's get ready to pray for people tonight. Thank you. Overcome by the blood of the word. Yeah. All right, let's take callers. And we're not going to do any talking tonight. Okay, we're just going to do praying over people. All right, my first caller tonight is 734. 585-325-754. Given the order of the callers, in case you wonder what I'm doing. 972. Uh 863-720-20 with an 8. 202 after that, 678 after that, and then 478, not 678, 708, 803, 910, 951, 951, 951. I'm giving the order. Everybody's in, okay? 94024, and that's all they have their hand up. 8720, okay. 720 with a 6. 6, okay. All right, thank you. That's the order right now that we have of our callers, so thank you for that. We're going to be praying for you guys now. All right, let's do that. Thank you, Jesus. All right, and if you call in, some people wait and call in into the show because they don't like to wait on the phone as long. That's a good idea. I really like that, especially if you're in a different time zone. Really awesome. All right, give me your first name. Where are you from, please? All right, 734-673. Who am I talking to? Where are you from?
Jennifer from Michigan.
All right, Jennifer. All right. Jennifer, good to have you. All right. All right, Jennifer from Michigan. Thank you, Jesus, for Jennifer. Father, I thank you for the heartbeat, God, that, that you know, God has given you an ability to feel the heartbeat of others. You know, when you learn how to feel the heartbeat of God, and you walk in that heartbeat realm with God. I've literally felt the heartbeat of God. I don't know how to explain that other than I've talked about this a couple of times before, but I was in a meeting, and I wasn't ministering, but I was there to, you know, listen to some other prophet, prophesied of people, you know, part of the meeting, friends of ours. And, give me a second. I hung up on myself, but I'm back. Okay. All right. Jennifer, thank you, Jesus, for Jennifer and the heartbeat of God. And I remember feeling the heartbeat of God myself one time. It was so obvious. I just felt it, literally felt it in my chest. I was a lot younger then. I think in my 30s. Somewhere in there. And, you know, I walked into this church. It was an old farm. It wasn't a fancy church. It was just an old church. And I remember feeling the heartbeat of God. And I thought, I feel the heartbeat of God. And even my eyes were like feeling it. Boom, 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 boom. It wasn't fear. It wasn't pressure. I didn't have an heart issue at all. It was like I felt the heartbeat of God. I knew it was the heartbeat of God. Never felt that before. Never known that before. And the Lord said, Randy, I'm giving you my heartbeat so you can be in and feel the hearts of my people. And send you to minister to their hearts, to their heart. And so a lot of people minister to their minds, and all of it is good. Some people just minister to their bodies. You know, I want you to minister to their heart. And I just kind of went, wow. It was really cool. At the time, I didn't understand it because I really wasn't ministering that then. I was not prophesying at the time. I was just young. It was really interesting, Jennifer. So I think God really wants to open you up to that dimension and that place. Because when you feel the heartbeat of God first, then you feel the heartbeat of his people because God has a heart for his people, right? And when that goes on, it's a beautiful thing that then you can minister to them, then you can feel their heart, then you can read their heart because you're connected because you can feel their heartbeat. And when you feel somebody's heartbeat, you feel what they feel. You know what their heart's going through. You know what their heart is saying. You know what their heart is doing. And if their heart is betraying them, if their heart is messing them up, if their heart is, you know, got motives and intentions, then, you know, you understand and you know it, so you can help them. Right? Yeah. And so, God, open her up to that, Jesus, and protect her, keep her, and watch over her, God, as she moves into that realm, God. Amen. Let the heartbeat of God, you know, lead her not just about people. It's not just about people, but it's about whatever God wants, whatever's on God's heart. And he opens you up to that, whether it's about an individual or about a thing, a situation, the purpose of some, you know, business or person, whatever the thing is. You know, it's the heartbeat of God. It reaches everything because God has a heart for everything. He has a heart for creation. He has a heart for, you know, food. He has a heart, you know, the right food, good food. He has a heart for a lot of things. So he's going to show you that the heartbeat of God takes you to the root of things. Amen. All right, 585-436. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hello, it's Anonymous.
Okay, Anonymous. All right. Good to have you, Anonymous. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Anonymous. Lord, we thank you tonight for the power of love in her, God, that's breaking through. Love breaks through all things because love doesn't get offended. Love gets hurt. Love gets wounded. But love keeps loving. The love of God does. Our love will not do that. God's love will. That's why we need to get this thing going on with giving God all of our love, because God will never offend your love. He will never hurt your love. He will never let you down. Your love, he will not let your love down. And so when that happens, then he gives us love for other people, as I talked about earlier. So I thank you, Jesus, for Anonymous, God, that you show her how love wins the victory every time, because love, the love of God, not our human love, the love of God penetrates everything. It cannot be conquered, because you cannot, the way you conquer something is you cause it to be bitter and angry and hateful and, you know, destroy it like that. But love, when love is the crowning, purpose of somebody's life, then, you know, doesn't mean they don't go struggle. Doesn't mean they don't, because when you love, you feel things. Love lets you feel things. Sometimes feeling things is difficult. Yeah, I mean, it's like, man, when you sometimes think, man, I wish I didn't love so much, but I feel so deeply. But the love of God, when it does that, our human love will fail in that. Our human love will get messed up. Our human love will withdraw. Our human love, but not God's love. When it gets stricken, just like Jesus on the cross, you know, he crawled up on the cross, and the people that were crucified couldn't even believe it. Like, what's he doing? He's crawling up on the cross like he wants us to crucify it. Yeah, exactly. Because love, you know, wasn't being offended. It didn't mean it didn't feel, but it wasn't offended. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Anonymous how to walk in that love in Jesus' name, and to where that's why we always win when we walk in love. Because we never get offended. We never, our love always, shows us the right thing, the right way. It gives us the right motives. It lays our life down. When you lay your life down, you can never lose. When you lay your life down, he who loses his life for my sake can never lose life. You know, when you lose your life in him, you can't lose the victory. You can't, because you're giving your life in him. Lose your life. Lose your love. Give your love to him. You gain life. I never thought about it like that before. That's a new one for me. Lose your love. He who loses his life. Whoa, he who loses his love for my sake. Oh, gains. Yeah, wow, that was a new one. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Simple but powerful. I don't know if you saw that or not, but I'm sure you did. But thank you, Jesus, for opening that up, that dimension of the Spirit of God and the love for him, God. And because, you know, when love loses, when we don't let love win, stay in love, then we get offended, we get in unforgiveness. I mean, God knows, I know about that. We get in trouble. Our motives change. We don't want what's right. We just want what we want, and that's what our love does. It that's what it does. And so God's love, though, it wants what's right for every person. In the matter of if it costs you your life or costs you your time, yeah. So you always win. That way, you always win. You know, people who are givers of their life, they give their life, give their love away. The love of God away, because God's love is not for sale. When we give it away, it always wins every time, always wins. Amen. All right, God wants you to be a winner always in Christ. All right. Always losing, always winning. All right, 325-280. I'm going to talk to your friend, please. Hey, Chris. The oil man. Start calling you the oil man. Anointed for oil. Some of y'all may not have heard the word I gave Chris the other night. But that's pretty cool. God is good. The anointing. It's like God anointing you with that dark oil. It's like oil that comes out of the ground. The difference between golden anointing oil, that anointing with oil. So, God, I thank you for the anointings in his life, God, and showing him, you know, that when he stays in your purposes and doesn't get distracted with other purposes and other things, which is enemy's favorite strategy, as I'm sure you well aware of, is distraction. That's how Peter started sinking when he was walking on the water. He got distracted. Distractions. Yeah. And so they get our attention, we get our eyes off Jesus. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, on his purpose. And don't try to add to it or take away from it, but just follow that. Then because blessing and wealth, you know, some people are just made for that. Some people are made to, you know, to support the poor and the needy and ministries and whatever. Sometimes some of God just blesses somebody. You know, Job was like that. Job was a person who took care of people, man. He fed the poor. He was a giver. He was a wise man. He was a wealthy man. God just blessed him. And as long as he kept the purpose of what he was doing, God kept blessing him. So keeping your purpose is funneling your purpose toward and what God blesses you with toward the thing that God has had you connect with. And as long as we keep doing that, the blessings just keep coming. Why? Because we're focused on his purpose. We're not distracted with all these other things. And God knows, I mean, I've lost many battles because I've lost many things, temporarily lost them. it's just victory. The victory was just temporary loss with Peter. It wasn't permanently lost. Jesus made sure of that. He went and grabbed Peter and said, no, you're not going to go down. Where's your faith at, man? But, you know, when he said, where's your faith? He was talking about, you know, where were you looking? You were distracted. So I thank you, Jesus, for the ability for Chris to learn how to focus. Focus is everything, man. I've talked about this before, how God has taken me through so many different things. And the main thing, many times he was trying to teach me, was stay focused, right? Because I'm telling you, man, the devil, storms, hell, people, it's amazing that there's so many distractions. And so God knows that to be totally successful in your venture with God, is the ability to focus and stay focused. That's exactly what happened with Peter. He lost his focus, right? Yeah, he wasn't bad. He wasn't evil. He hadn't learned yet. You know, he could have heard that storm and kept his focus on Jesus. You know, not that we don't hear the storm, not that we don't know that there's trouble around us, but we keep our focus on the Lord. And we don't forget that he is the master of every storm because he was walking on the water in the first place. So the one who has control over everything can give us control over things too as we keep our focus on him. And so the funneling of God's blessing, the continual never-ending, Chris, of God opening doors has to do with our focus realm. Stay focused. So a lot of the battles I've gone through, it's just, you know, it's like God says, you know, this is all about focus, right? I'm thinking, what's this battle about? Focus. The enemy's favorite strategy is to defocus you, right? To defocus us. Peter is actually a perfect example of Peter walking the supernatural realm, doing something that no man had ever done before besides Jesus. I don't think anybody's ever done that again that I know of. It's amazing. How did they get broken? How did they get stopped or temporarily stopped? It was only temporary. He lost his focus, right? Yeah. And that takes nobody just has that automatic. You know, I don't know how to explain this, but it came to the point where I even noticed it in my eyes. When I look at people, I would think they think I'm staring a hole through them. They do. People tell me, you're staring a hole right through me, aren't you? You're trying to read me, aren't you? You're trying to read that. No, I'm not. I'm really not. Honest to God, I don't want to read anybody. I'm not into reading. I'm not into reading people, you know, hearts. I don't want to know. Just God, I've even told God, I don't want to know what's going on. You want me to know something? Tell me, show me. But so people think because my eyes, through the years of being taught how to focus, kind of got, I could guess you could say, locked in, and I can't unlock it. Now, there's certain different levels of locking in. Now, I don't know what level I locked in on, but he locked me in, and I can't get out. I know that sounds crazy, but that's literally physically true. People try to unfocus me in this particular area, they can't do it because I'm locked in. How did I get locked in?
because I went through all the training, all the struggles, all the battles, and I said, okay, Jesus, help me. I say, help me stay focused, Lord. And finally one day, after so many battles, he went like, lock. Got locked in. Locked into that focus realm. And now, as I go through more battles, you know, the struggles and things, you know, and all the things that try to distract me, try to get my attention, is to get me locked in at higher levels of focus to where it's a laser beam eventually. Dude, that's what a word. My gosh. It really draws out of the Lord, man. That's amazing. I love it. All right, Donald and Tanya, and you said pray for their oldest son, I think, tonight. Donald, are you there? Somebody's not able to respond to this.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. God bless you. Uh-oh, I hear that baby talking. He's trying to say hello. Hello. I love you, Jesus, and Jesus loves you. I love it. It's nothing like a child's voice, man. It's just unbelievably beautiful. There's nothing more pure than the voice of a child, especially you're a person like me where my life is about voice, you know, not only the voice of God, but the voice of people, right? It's really amazing. When your voice, there's so much information in a voice. It is amazing. You don't have to hear the voice, but that's when we talk to God, we cry to God. This is your word, man. When you talk to God, when you cry to God, your voice to him is just, even though you don't even say the words right, you're not really describing your pain or your issue exactly correct or your problem. Somebody can think your problem is one thing, it's something completely different. But God hears a real problem. Even though you're saying one thing, it's like he hears, in the voice comes the raw, real, whatever's going on. It's in the voice. It's in the waveforms of the voice. And like, you can hear it. I hear it, you know, and so, you know, even without, I mean, I minister to people all the time who want to stand in for their loved ones or, you know, their child or their uncle or their brother. And I don't hear their voice. It has nothing to do with that. That's not the ultimate of it. But even in the spirit realm, without hearing somebody's voice in the natural, you hear it in the spirit. Yeah. And because, believe me, people's prayers, they're contained in a container. And when God wants me to hear them, I hear them. I don't know how to explain that, but that's, I don't know, I'm getting crazy, right? Getting deep. Okay, sorry. No, nobody tell me I'm getting deep. Sorry, but I know that's kind of like off the charts. But one of these nights, I've got it in my notes that one of these nights we're gonna talk about the voice and. How you hear the voice of a person and how you hear the voice of God and how that works and how that sometimes I can hear people, but they'll be talking to me and about some information they have or whatever. It could be, you know, some good stuff, or it can be gossip. It can be something. And what I will hear through their voice, I will hear the voice of another person in the spirit. I will know that's not their voice. I will hear the voice of another person, especially if they're spreading something, you know, bad. It doesn't really matter. It's good, bad. It's anything. It's everything. When you hear somebody talk about revelation that they've got, you know, oh, yeah, I can hear the voice of another person. If it's not their revelation yet, you know, it hadn't become theirs yet, they've just been learning it. You can hear the voice of the other person, whoever the person is. You can hear it in their voice. Even if it's through writing or through text, I hear the voice. I see. I don't have to explain that. It's really odd. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna talk about that sometime. Just you have to be ready for that one because it's unexplainable, actually. All right, can you pray for our oldest son Darius also tonight? Yes. So yeah, God, and that word was for you about the voice thing because God wants you to, you know, understand the voice realm. And, yeah, the voice realm is so important. Things are voice activated, even if you don't hear their physical voice, you can hear it in the spirit. Even when they're not talking, you can hear, and I don't mean you can hear their voice literally. It's a spiritual thing. Because people have told me,
you know, like when I heard the voice of Joe Biden, you know, Joe Biden, Joseph Biden, when I heard all that, I've had people close to me said, you know, you're hearing voices, you're hearing, you know, and like, you know, and so I've been accused of the voice thing because God's given me a, you know, I think everybody has it actually, but he's given me, I've learned to work in that, you know, hearing his voice. And when people are praying, or people that pray, things they said before they get on the show, you know, so you can testify. Oh, I just talked about that with so-and-so, like you were in the car with me. Well, like, well, I wasn't in the car with you because I'm over here, you know. You see what I'm saying? And some of you have commented on that many times. I've had people tell me over and over and over again. This one lady from Australia told me that many times. She said, "Randy, it's like you're in the car with me, my friend. You're in the, you know, bedroom with me and my husband. Like you're hearing us talk about things. Like how do you do this? It's not me. It's a spiritual thing. You don't even have to literally hear the physical voice. You know. You see what I'm saying? Because in the spirit realm." When you say hello, it just kept going, hello, 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 and it travels around, hello, hello. You see what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain that, but it just travels. Like some people say when God said, let there be planets, planets are still being created. I don't know if that's true or not. Sounds true, but I know that's the way our voice does. And even though somebody's not talking to me, I can hear, in my spirit, man, I hear, I know things. I know what they've been talking about. I don't know that I know that they've been talking about that, but I hear the information, and I know the information in my spirit, and I just say this, and they go, oh, yeah, we've talked about that a while ago, 5 minutes ago, 5 hours ago, yesterday, last week. Yeah, it's an amazing dimension that everybody has access to. It's like being in heaven. Like being in heaven, except you're on the earth. Jesus could know what people are thinking. How did he do that? Because when you're in heaven, you know what people are thinking. They don't have to say anything. You know, the voices, you know, so as it is in heaven, so is it in the earth, if you're in the spirit. Yeah. I know Tanisha and Terrence, they prophesy over people without, you know, like I'm calling numbers and hear your voice. They do that with it. I mean, you know, that's, so, hey. It's real, very, very real. And we're learning how to function in that. We're learning how to work in it, too. So it's growing and growing, becoming more powerful. So, yeah. All right, why don't I go there? Because that's for you, Donald, in Jesus' name, for Darius. We pray for Darius, and we thank you, Jesus, for Darius. We plead the blood of Jesus over Darius, God, that everything he goes through will be something that he and everybody will learn from. It'd be a learning experience of how things happen, why things happen, how to stop them from happening. Physical, spiritual, mental, whatever the thing is, to keep things from happening, to do what you call when you prep for something so it won't happen. Anyway, I can't think of the word, but. Yeah, so you prepare them and teach them things so they don't do it. You know, sometimes that's what we do when we learn from our mistakes is that we actually learn, not just that we made the mistake or how we got sick or how we failed or how we're messing up, but how, why, what's the root of it? How do we stop it? Like I've talked about with people in the ministry lately, like talking about Joni and Marcus, so, you know, they got on the air and shared their thing that they messed up on, but I never heard them say how they did it. You know, how did the enemy trick you into that? That's what we need to hear, not how to hire an attorney. I'm not saying they said this, how to hire an attorney, how to fix everything because you got yourself in a mess. No, that's great. That's great knowledge too, but we need to know how did you – what was the first step of that thing beginning? How did it get started? So we can stop it, right? That's what we need to hear teaching on. And so people can identify, go, yeah, yeah, I remember, you know, somebody taught me that. They sinned, they fell into some stuff, and they started teaching me all the steps of how it happened. And, oh, my gosh, you know. Yeah, so we need to teach people. So let every step that Darius takes, Father, the order of you, that he will not move out of the ordered realm of God. This, every step that's been ordered in Jesus' name, that he walks in the orders, in the orders of the Lord, the order of God, amen, in Jesus' name. Fashion and form and shape him, God, to your glory, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let him be able to express himself. Let him, let Darius be able to express himself, and let Donald and Tanya be able to see and recognize the expressions and what they mean. Sometimes people can't talk to us about stuff, but they can express things and be able to see in the expression what's behind it, why it, so we can stop the problem from going there, you know, or at least help it not go there as often or whatever, or eventually, you know, keep it from destroying a person's life or hurting them or causing them problems. Yeah, amen. All right, could you use for Tanya? Lord, we thank you for Tanya. I thank you for teaching, and training her, God. The training, the teaching and the training, God, of the ways of God, and how to have substantial substance of faith, where it's not just hoping, you know, without knowing God doing something, but it's hoping with knowing that God is doing something. She hopes because she knows God's doing something. It's not a false hope. It's not a, I hope God's doing something. She's hoping that because she knows God's doing something, and her hope is will bring the situation into alignment with God's will. Yeah. Sometimes I say things I don't even know what I'm saying. Y'all, so, what did you say? What do you mean by that? I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm the information boy. That's it. Oh, that's one thing I want to talk about. I'm going to write that down here in a second. Okay. I think I maybe already did write it down. Yeah. Okay, you know, so I gotta write this down. That's a revelation. I can't forget about that. Hang on a second, everybody. I stopped for this stuff. Okay, hang on a second. Got that earlier today, and I think I forgot to write it down about the information realm. Yeah, so I thank you, Jesus, for Tanya, God, and then for empowering her, God. Amen, in Jesus' name. And that the substance of her faith, God, hoping for things. In other words, we don't hope for things that are not going to happen. Like in the political arena, people hoped for things that weren't going to happen because that's, you know, God showed me that's not going to happen. So they were hoping with false hope, and their hope was shattered. Yeah, at least for now. And it will be in the future if they keep hoping in that in the wrong thing. But if we're hoping in the right thing, in the God thing, then that hope actually it doesn't just cause it to happen, but it causes us to be in there with it. You know, God is looking for people to work with. You know, yeah. So, all right. Let's go here to 972-695. Talk to your friend, please. I think this is Terrence and Tamisha, I believe. 972. Okay, gotcha. All right. Give it away from the phone for a moment. It's Terrence and Tanisha. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God, and I thank you, Jesus, for her life, God, that, you know, I just keep seeing you. You know, I think the last time I ministered to you was about the game that y'all's son was in, football game that he won, And I asked you what the score was. The reason I asked you what the score was, I talked about this once already, but I don't want to talk about it again, that, you know, I remember my mom was, you know, we were all, sports was everything from where we were at in our little town. It was everything. You know, the only way you could become somebody is if you came in, you were a great athlete and you could move up and be to go to college and be professional. So sports are like, you know, the hope people had, and, you know, it was just fun, enjoy. But my mother never knew the score. She said, oh, yeah, we won. How many, what was the score? I don't remember. 20 to 30, 20, 25, I don't remember. She would never really remember the score, but she was a big fan. I mean, she loved sports, you know. And so, when I thought about you I think of that my mom, right? And ever since then, that thought just stuck with me about my mom. And my mom was always she always told me, Randy, you can do anything. You can do anything that you want if you just make your mind up. My mom was a very positive person. She was a very supportive person. She was strong. So that whole thing got me to thinking about you in the sense of my mom. And so tonight, as I you're not my mother, actually, no. But the point is that, you know, I started thinking about that, and I just said, God, what is it? Why do I all of a sudden connect with Tamisha as, you know, like my mother? Because my mother was such a positive, so she was, you know, strong, and man, she was very protective. If she thought somebody was messing with me when I was in high school or junior or whatever, I learned not to tell her their names because it was going to be some trouble going on here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and it was embarrassing for me. I'm going, that's why I never told her anything about the names of the people that gave me a hard time, whether it's a coach or a man or woman or kids, it didn't make any difference. My mama would protect you, boy. I mean, it was amazing. She was a protector. And so all that stuff, you know, I started thinking about that, and it connected to me, to you, Tanisha, as like a mother figure for the body of Christ, you know, and the protector and a mother, and, you know, I mean, just like, I've never seen you like that before. That was a brand new thing for me, and that's developed over the last, you know, couple of weeks, even the last couple of days. And I go, oh, what is that about? You know, because that kind of caught my attention. I'm going, what did I ask her what the score was? And I'm thinking about my mom. It's really weird. It's like it didn't make any sense. And so I just really saw that. And everybody loved my mom. My mom was Dickie Chandler was the girl. Yeah. So you could trust her. She was not a gossiper. My mom taught us all of our life. She said she would never use herself. Actually, I've never gossiped. She would never talk like that. She always say, use other people as an example. You know, so-and-so, like my coach, my football coach, his wife, they played cards together. They played cards all their life together, and she would always tell us, she would use her. She would say, yeah, I can't think of what the lady's name was at the time, but yeah, she never speaks ugly about anybody. And she would look at us like, don't forget what I just said. Like she was really reverencing her, and that was her way of dealing with things. Very smart. She's a very smart lady. And I didn't, you know, you don't know that when you're a kid. You just think, why does she keep saying, you know, she would bring it up, you know, off and on. And so I don't know if we were gossiping about people and she was trying to use that. That was her way of correcting it. I'm not sure I remember, but now I look back at that. I'm going, that girl was amazing, smart, and, you know, just protective. And, you know, she didn't just protect you, like go after the coach or the person who was treating you bad or, talk to the kid's mother about that, whether they were treating you. And it wasn't just that. It was like protecting. She was a protector of, you know, like the gossip thing. Like she knew that gossip was horrible and would destroy people. And she really just, maybe she learned lessons from that when she was a child. I don't know why she was so strong on that. There were several things my mom was very strong on. And now I look back at it, it was to protect us and to protect other people, you know. And I've never identified with you like that before. That was a new thing in the spirit. I saw that. And because I started asking God, why do I keep connecting with Tanisha like a mother figure or something? I mean, she's not my mother. She's encouraged me many times, I mean, on the show and you know, text me and said, you know, God's really going to use PGN. you know, just like, and that, and you know, so it's really cool. But so God's calling you to be, you know, that's, you're a mother to the body of Christ. And you know, like people said about my mom, Dickie Chandler was well respected and well known as a lady who, you know, the things I thought, she wouldn't gossip, she would talk bad about people, always lifting people up, always talking. I mean, it was amazing. That girl, you know, of course, you don't realize it's my mama, you know, it's my mom. I don't know what else she does out in public, you know, and that's the reputation that that girl had. She was amazing. So anyway, very cool. And so thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. We thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God, that I think Terrence is the same way. Terrence has been the same way with me. I know Terrence is a big encourager, big faith person. So I thank you, Jesus, for that love, for the love of the brethren, for the love of God, for the love of family. And, you know, I know Terrence is a real family man. He's told me that. He's reminded me of that. I'm a, Randy, you know, I'm a real family man. I'm going like, okay, why are you telling me that? You know, like, okay, because I want you to know. He didn't say that, but he was, you know, trying to say family's important. And, and so, you know, and I listen to what people say, and I'm going like, okay, you know, okay, what are you doing, God? And so Terrence and Tisha are not afraid to tell you things, and their whole motive is to encourage you and build you up. I mean, it's truly amazing gifts we have among us, you know, in the body of Christ here at PGN. And so, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for opening that door so they can spread themselves out to many, and to gather together the family of God. And be, my mom and my dad were, you know, that's why I feel so unworthy of it, because my mom, my dad, I mean, like, when I say I can never be like my dad, I mean that. My dad was, you know, my mom and dad together, Fred and Dickie were like, everybody loved Fred and Dickie. People came to their house. I mean, you know, they hardly had any time to say. People were always coming over. You know, people, they had to, like, that, you know, shut the door. You know, we're not home, turn the lights off. Because there's just something they drank from my mom and my dad. It's truly amazing. And my dad was a servant. He loved to sing, go out in the community, and he'd sing for free. He just loved to go sing, and he'd sing about Jesus. That was his way of preaching, was singing, because he didn't feel like he was supposed to preach or something, I guess. But, yeah, so I don't know why all that's happening with me tonight with you guys, but it's really amazing. And in Jesus' name, yeah, amen. I think I got cut off there for a second. All right. All right, hopefully you got that word. If you didn't, get it tomorrow, I guess. Awesome. Oh my God! Information. What if you hear what God gave me about information? It's just beautiful. All right, 863-268. Then my doctor will regret, please. Am I not like, hearing people tonight? What's going on? I'm not hearing them. You know, everybody hear me? Hello. I know who this is. Y'all can hear me, right? But maybe when Terrence and Tanisha are there, maybe they answer the phone, I didn't hear them. I don't know. Somebody's texting me. Yes. Yes, can hear you. Okay. All right. I'm just making sure because I'm not hearing Nikki say hello or anything. All right. Nikki, thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for the strong will of the Lord. You know, Nikki is a strong person, and strength in itself is of no value. But when your strength is hidden in God, you become weak, and your weaknesses make you strong. Not weaknesses of failure or that kind of thing, but just a weakness of knowing that you need Him. Just a weakness of being weak, knowing that, God, I live and move and have my being in you. And I thank you, Jesus, that Nikki understands that God, you're going to use her to strengthen people, to give people the might and the glory of God, not by might and by power, but by my spirit. But there is the might and the power of God. And it's not by human might, not by human strength, And I thank you, Jesus, for her divesting herself and lose, not afraid to lose herself in you, and therefore gaining life. That's her the key strategy that you've learned to give is to learn to lose your life in him. Be, like you said last night, I think, flexible, you know, changeable. You know, some people can't change and move because they're stuck in their stuff, you know. And so the same kind of thing is like, yeah, so it's like you've learned how to lose your life in him to gain his life. And that's what makes you strong. Let's make you strong. You're a strong woman without God, and you're a strong-willed person just like I am. But strong-willed people like Paul the Apostle and others that we know in the Bible, Paul is a very strong-willed person. That's why God had to knock him off his horse and blind him. He didn't just knock him off his horse. He knocked him off his horse, girl, and he blinded him. That's how stubborn this guy was. And God said, man, I got to have this boy. He's like, man, he's just like, he's amazing. He's like, you know, stubborn president. He's like a donkey of all donkeys. But, man, if when I get hold of his voice, that donkey's going to speak to some people. Right? Woo, Jesus, hallelujah. Yeah, so I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, and that blessing in her life, God, that should be strength to people. Give strength to people. When Joshua was going into the promised land, getting ready to cross over, it's like that whole process with the captain of the host of the army of the Lord came to him and strengthened him. He needed strength. God's called you to give people strength. You give people strength, girl. God bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Charles. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Charles, God, and the handyman, the Holy Ghost handyman. I know you're a handyman in the natural. I know, or I think you call yourself a handyman. I'm kind of a handyman in a sense. I can do a lot of things, but I just can't do anything really, really great, but I can do a lot of things pretty good. You know, kind of a handyman, like God using you like a handyman. Get all things to all people, being able to, you know, talk to people about anything, be anything to them. And because they know you can be anything to them, then they can be anything to you. They can be, you know, whatever you need them to be. And so you open that up in people, Charles, where people will be anything for you and in you and around you, pouring you. And so you have that gift. And it's a beautiful thing. And so I thank you, Jesus, for nurturing that, for blessing that with Charles, God. And the fact that he unlocks people and allows them to be unlocked, to follow after God, to seek after God, to not be afraid of God, to know that God is holy, but he's also the most compassionate, loving friend that you could ever have. Okay. And he says, yeah, we can hear you. Okay. Just making sure that I'm not, even though all the show is going to be, all right. Amen. In Jesus' name, bless that. Glory to God. Bless it. Glory to God. Bless the glory. All right, 720-819, I didn't miss you.
It's Jeff and Yuki. She's alive.
Well, it's about time, girl. Golly, I was worried about you, and I don't even like to use the word worried.
Can talk now a little bit.
It's okay. Yeah, we're not going to talk now. Yeah, thank you, but... Yeah, but thank you, Jeff. And you just went through, I'm going to go ahead and mute you. Yuki just went through a really, you know, tough surgery. And, man, to hear her voice tonight, because I've been trying to keep up with them. And Jeff had sent me a one. Yuki's doing a lot better today. Thank you, Jesus, feeling alive. Oh, that's so good. That's what you said. So, amen. Thank you, God. I mean, wow. I mean, I knew you were going to be fine, but it just, you know, you just, I understand how my mom and dad, you know, when you feel about you're not my kid or anything, but you're my kinfolk. It's like you're my kinfolk. And, you know, you just like, you really get concerned by people and you can't shake it. It's like, it's just there. Like, man, I woke up this morning thinking, I hope she's doing okay. I hope she's doing good. I hope she gets good. Because I don't like pain. When it comes to pain, I'm a baby. I'm a wuss when it comes to pain. I guarantee you that.
when I think about somebody being in pain, I don't like it. It really messes with me. So I'm really feeling you. And it's good to know you're doing good. Good to hear your voice. Thank you for coming on and making me feel better. That made me feel really, really good. It made my day, you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the suffering realm that she's been going through, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that rests upon you, God. You're preparing her for your glory to rest upon her. Glory meaning always bringing glory to God. Glory meaning always turning things from no glory to all glory to God. Turning situations where there's no glory to be found to God finding glory in a situation. God working something out for good and in an immeasurable fashion, where the immeasurable ness of God, where His glory is His. I'm just getting this for the first time, right? Because His glory is His immeasurable presence. You can get a little bit of it, you can get a lot of it, but you can get all you want, and it's unending. It's immeasurable. It never runs out. It's never finished. And I thank you, Lord, for the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in Jesus' name. In my sister, God, I thank you for the glory of God, the immeasurable presence of God, the glory of God in her life, to give people hope that suffer, to give people your glory, where they will find some way to glorify God in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their pain, some way that God, only God can bring glory out of some situations. I mean, there's no way and bring glory out of every situation. I thank you, Lord, you called her as a glory girl to get glory and bring glory out of every situation, God. You can just hear it in her voice. It's just there. Like, I'm going up. God bless me. I'm going somewhere. Me and Jesus, we're going somewhere. We're doing something. It's like, it's all glory to God. It's all glory to God. I thank you, Lord, for that and for my brother. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for blessing Jeff, God, and giving him the wisdom of the ages. The wisdom of the ages. The wisdom of the ages? What does that mean? The wisdom of the ages? The wisdom of the age? There you go. This age. Let me look that up. That's interesting. Thank you. I'm just looking this up. I'm Googling it. Okay, I just looked the word the wisdom of the age. I don't know what this means. Age is a modern master. There's scripture somewhere, maybe? I don't even know. Wisdom of the age. Yeah, I don't know what that is, man, but it's really awesome. Wisdom of the age. Meaning the age. The wisdom of the ages. Meaning, let's look at that. I'm Googling this so everybody will know. I'm doing the ability or result of an ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Accumulated knowledge, erudition, or enlightenment, archaic, a wise saying, or teachings. All right, I'm looking up the word wisdom of the ages, meaning, and that's what it comes up with. The ability or result of an ability to think and act utilizing knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Accumulated knowledge, erudition, I don't know what that is, or enlightenment, archaic wise sayings, or sayings. Okay. Anyway, so what I saw in that was, after all that, was, God giving you wisdom for the age that we're in. Like, it's not the age, the old age, like a new wine, new wineskin. Like, it's new age. It's not, I guess, new wisdom. I don't know how to explain it. Wisdom of the ages, wisdom of the age that we're in. It's like I heard the word wisdom of the age and of ages, because ages, so we age, and we just came out of 1134, a new age began, a new era began, and We're going to need wisdom for this age. You know, like God gave, God took Joseph through all of his stuff so he would have the wisdom of the age that he was in with Pharaoh, right? So he could do the food thing, save the people, do that thing so God would get the glory. And, so God gave him the wisdom of the age to deal with the age that they were in, which was going to be seven years of plenty, 7 years of total nothing, and drought, just like horrible. You have 3 years of drought, plenty. 7 years, that's devastating. So they went through a complete seven-year blessing, 7 years of drought, and God gave Joseph the wisdom of the age, given the wisdom of that age of that particular season. Amen. All right. 202-722, who am I talking to, Rick
Crumpy? Hi, Randy. It's Nicole, and I'm from Washington, D.C.
All right, Nicole. All right, Nicole from Washington, D.C. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I see, you know, I've seen the shoe thing again. I see shoes once in a while. I've seen shoes two or three times with people. And I see new shoes with you. I see getting some new shoes, which always means like a new walk, a new season, a new entrance, a new ability to, you know, like I had the tennis shoes I have now are fairly new because the ones I had before, which were good tennis shoes, I do a lot of walking and, you know, so I wore those shoes out and didn't know it. But when my knee started hurting, I started thinking, well, I'm having a knee issue. What's my knee issue all about? Come to find out, you know what it was? It was my shoe, because when I got these shoes on, my knee problem went away. But show me that those shoes, whatever they were doing to me, whether I just wore them out or what, I don't know. It needed some new ones. I'm not sure, but that's what I keep seeing. It's like the old shoes were causing me knee problems, And when you got knee problems, that's not good, because that's walking and that's getting around and, you know, having a finger hurt, and that's one thing. Having your knees hurt, no, you need those knees, man. And so that's what I saw. I saw that you get a new shoes, and those new shoes are making an adjustment to issues you've had, you know, just things, you know, not issues like, how do I say this? You know, just things that you struggle with and going through, and how do I move into this? How do I do that? How do I conquer this? So I see some new shoes on, and those new shoes, like these shoes did me, they whatever they did, my knee quit hurting. And then I was saying, you know, a couple of months ago, like, man, my knee just quit hurting completely. You know, and it wasn't bad, but when your knee hurts, it hurts, right? It's hard to walk. So it's amazing that, because I thought it was a walking a treadmill too much, I'm not doing this enough, doing that enough, and I kept trying to find the answer to the problem, and my knee hurting. Because when my body messes up on me, I respect my body. And I make sure I catch things before they get messed up. So I'm, like, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, by the grace of God, didn't even know it. Went and bought some tennis shoes. And la, la, la. It all went away. Just like that. So this new shoes, you're going to see things that you had struggles with, battles with. How do I conquer this? How do I get through that? It's like these new shoes are going to fix things. This new walk, this new thing you're stepping into. It's going to... change areas where you have pain, things that you suffered before. You're going to find yourself not suffering those things like you did before. And your walk is going to be without as much pain. You know, but we all have, there's good pain, there's bad pain. I'm talking about the bad pain, the unnecessary pain. We all have pain of work, you know, pain in birth. When you get birth, you get a pain. The pain is not always bad, but it's, it can give birth to something, but sometimes there's pain, some unnecessary pain that's trying to stop you from functioning fully, 100-fold. And God's called you to 100-fold. So, amen. In Jesus' name, so show her how to walk in that, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 478-233, can I talk to you in front, please?
This is Janice from Georgia.
It's who?
Janice from Georgia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, let me turn my phone down a little bit. I'm having a hard time. You're echoing, and it's why I'm having a hard time hearing you. What's your first name again?
Janice from Georgia.
Janice. Sorry, Janice. Okay. It just echoed in my ear there. I don't know why. Probably on my end, I'm sure. Janice, thank you, Janice. Thank you, Jesus, for Janice. God, I thank you, Lord, for her life. God, I thank you for the strife, God, that, you know, like when Abraham and Sarah were, you know, they have Ishmael, which wasn't the will of God, right? And all of a sudden Sarah was going like, we got to get rid of him. You got to get him out of here, talking about Ishmael, which wasn't the promised child. We got to get him out of here because he's causing problems. He's like stirring up stuff. You know, and so, you know, the strife is causing strife. That child, Abraham's child, was causing strife. And so, you know, Sarah said, get him out of here, get rid of him. Well, that was Abraham's boy, right? That was his boy. They're like, that's my boy over there. Get rid of my boy? That's my son. That's my blood. She said, get rid of him. And God said, yeah, do it. Listen to your wife on that one, man. Yeah. So, yeah. So when he listened to your wife, I don't know. He listened to his wife when she said, come up with that great idea, which created Ishmael. And then, you know, I mean, you got to feel sorry for us men sometimes. Then all of a sudden, you know, God said, yeah, you really messed it up. You and Sarah got Ishmael going on now. That's not good. And now you want me to listen to her, but to get rid of him? Like, what's up, God? Well, you women need to pray for husbands, right? Because we have a tough road to husband left. Anyway. So whatever, I see God, like, you know, honoring your thing, like, God, get that out of my life, get those things out of our life, get those things are causing strife, those things are causing problems in the family, things are causing trust in situations, whatever the thing is, I don't know, and God's like going, you know, and God like, okay, yeah, good, yeah, do that, you know, like, God told Abraham, listen to Sarah. That's what he told her. It's amazing. I love that story. That is a mind-boggler and beautiful. Listen to her. She knows she's feeling me. The Lord says, she's feeling me. Yeah, get rid of her. Get rid of that child. So he did, and it was difficult for him. But sure enough, it solved the problem. And so I don't know what it is with that, but God's going to show you how to deal with things that cause strife, that destroy family, that ruin family. You know, I don't know what that all is exactly, but God's going to show you how to get rid of it, maybe, how to influence people to stop doing that, get rid of that, don't do that anymore, something like that, Janice. And it's going to bring blessing, because where there's strife, you know, you may not have anything to do with the strife at all. You know, you may be totally innocent of the whole thing, of strife, but the strife is, like, there's certain things that cause strife, so God's going to show you how to pray it out or get rid of it. You know, sometimes people can change, things can change, but sometimes there's some things that can't change because the nature of the thing, a situation, whatever, it's just the way it is. And God says, that's not going to change. Get it out of there. So God's showing you how to do that. So the blessing can come, because when the strife is gone, whatever's causing the strife, whatever's causing the problem, when it's gone, the blessings come more predominant and more powerful. So in Jesus' name, amen. God bless her and show her and bless her and enrich her, God, Janice, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 803-991. Am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. Angela, South Carolina.
Hey, Angela, South Carolina. All right, good to have you. All right. Okay. Angela. All right, my friend Angela, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the heartbeat of America, like God tapping you into the heartbeat of America, you know, meaning that, you know, if you have the heartbeat of a country or a city or whatever, but the heartbeat of America, that's kind of cool, man. Wow. Heartbeat of America. So to be able to know what's best for the country, know where the country's going, know where the country's not going, you know. Because when you hear, feel the heartbeat, my first work tonight, somebody was about the heartbeat of God, but it's about the heartbeat of America, which is really cool. When God gives you the heartbeat of a person, or you kind of know, you know, what their limits are, what their, you know, what they can do, what they can't do, because God gives you know what's going on with that. So God is showing you the heartbeat of America, and knowing that. You know, what its purpose is, where it's going, what's happening. Like, the words I have for America is that America is going to become unless it's not going to be number one anymore. It's just really hard to say sometimes. But it's also the fact that God is about to do something great, and America will be have its own greatness, you know, but it just won't be number one great. It's going to have other things great. So God's showing you how to pray for America, the heartbeat of America. What has God designed America for in this age, in this season? What's going on with the in this age with America? You know, what's going on? Like I just gave the word to Jeff and Nuke about, Jeff and Nuke, who was that? About the, you know, the age of 7 years of blessing, 7 years of famine. That was a new age. That was going to create a whole new thing. And Joseph caught that and into the interpretation of the dream, of Pharaoh's dream. And it was a new age. It was 14 years. It was a new age they were entering into, an age of 7 years of blessing, 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 and 7 years of drought, 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 big time drought. It's an age that we're into. So the wisdom of that age. Plus, I get that word earlier to somebody else, but God's showing you the age, what's happening with America, where America's going, and having the heartbeat of America so that you can pray and agree and God can speak to you about it and pray about it. Because when we have a purpose from God, then and we start understanding that purpose and we start fitting in and start God letting God use us for that purpose, then he blesses us. He rewards us. God didn't reward us for doing nice things. He rewards us for doing his will, right? So as you enter into that place where you, that the heartbeat of America and what, where America is going and what's happening, you do that and you, so you, you know, and then God rewards you. So this is about, this is a twofold word. It's about God showing you, you know, the heartbeat of America from God, you know, what God asked for America, the true heartbeat, where it needs to go, what needs to change about it. And to be blessed, even though we're not going to be number one anymore, how to be blessed at number two or number three or whatever, be fully blessed. And when you, as you do your job, what God's called you to do, then what does he do? He rewards you. He pays well. God pays really well. So I thank you, Lord, for that twofold word, the purpose, part of her purpose, and the blessing that comes to her because of that. In Jesus' name, she goes to work on that right away, asking you about that, Jesus. So to really bless Angela in Jesus' name, amen. You're successful. Hallelujah. All right. 610-969. I'm going to talk to you real quick.
Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA.
Hey, Lisa. All right. Good to have you, Lisa. All right. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Lisa. Thank you, Lord, for the discovery of the new thing. You know, we have to discover, like when Columbus discovered America, here's another America word. But the Columbus discovered America. It's like, you know, what did he discover? He discovered, you know, what we have today. So God says we're on. There's a new discovery going on with not just America, but the globe. You know, we're in, it's like Christopher Columbus was discovered America. That was kind of his passion, was to discover things and to find things and something like that. But he. So God allowed him to, you know, discover the very place we are. But this is in a little bit more of a spiritual thing, to discover the globe, discovering the purposes of God for the globe right now. And because if we don't understand the purpose for the globe, what God's doing for the globe, because now everything's about global. It's always been about global to a certain degree, but now it's really about global. The globe is suffering a disaster. The corona thing has become, however disastrous it really is, only God knows, but it's, either way, it's connecting as a globe. There's a reason, that's a sign or something. And so God wants you to discover, Columbus discovered America, discover the global purpose for the church, the global understanding of, you know, at least you're part of it, and where God's taking it, where it's going, so that we don't fight what God's doing. By trying to say, we want Trump, we want Trump. Well, of course we want it, because Trump's going to make it easier, make it better. But God has something much greater, much, much greater. And we're going to suffer some things, but it's going to be much greater than Trump could ever make it. Trump tries to make America great again, which is awesome. He did a great job of that. But God's going to make the globe great again. And so to discover the global, the purpose for the global, you know, like what's God doing in the globe, how he's connecting the globe, the Antichrist is going to connect the globe, in their way, and we're going to connect it in another way. And so we must understand that if we don't get in and start praying and believe in God for God's purpose and quit selfishly, you know, insecurely praying for just America, you know, we've got to pray for our own country, so I've got to pray for ourselves. But we got to, it's about connecting with the globe, God's purpose for the globe. And if we do that, then America will be blessed. If we don't do that, I think America will truly go down the tubes big time. If we don't connect with that God's purpose, if America doesn't fulfill its purpose, stop trying to be number one and let God do his thing, making, you know, other things become number one. If we work with that and love that and see what God is doing, discover this new thing that God is unveiling, then America will be blessed. We're just not going to be number one anymore, but we will still be blessed. Why? Because we're agreeing with God. Amen. So God, open her up, show her part of that in Jesus' name, so that you can also reward her too, just like I told Angela. Our rewards come from coming into agreement with God. Work. What are you paid for? God's work, not our work, not what we think, not what everybody else thinks, what God works, what he's working. Amen. Bless that in Jesus' name. Open it. Amen. All right. 951-966. You want to talk to your husband?
Hi, this is Regina from California.
Hi, Regina. All right. Good evening, Regina. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, Father. I thank you, Father, for that, locking the doors, like when God says lock the door, that means, you know, it's, he doesn't want the door open, he wants to lock the door, but to shut the door. And so when God gets ready to do something like what happened in Egypt, God had them, he said, you know, even though you have the blood of the doorpost, you need to be behind the door. If you read the scripture, it says you need to be behind the door. The whole family needs to be behind the door because what's coming, because you've got the blood over your doorpost, so you are protected. You are protected, and you're fixed to have great provision. But you've got to make it through this season, right? So understand, it's just you got to get behind the door, find the secret place. You know, it's like in the visions that I've had about when I saw the giants, it's like I was trying to hide from the giants. I wish I could be more like David and run toward them, but that wasn't my purpose, right? So when the giants were coming, man, there's a whole bunch of them. They were all for miles. They were like walking fast in one single line in an order across this desert thing, and I'm over there by the rock, right? I see them. I try to hide. No, oh my God, I hope they don't see me. They saw me anyway. They came after me, and then God gave me a rock and took care of it. But so what I'm trying to say is that even though I was hiding under the rock, it wasn't like I was a coward. I just knew I couldn't win that without God. If God didn't put a rock in my hand or do something, because there was no weapons, there was nothing, just the rocks and the dirt and the giants. That was it. Like I had no protection. I had no, you know, they were seeing, they saw me. And so in hiding wasn't like, it was like my whole spirit, man, my whole soul knew that with this situation on my own, I do not have a chance. But when I hid into the rock, you know, and God, all of a sudden, when the giant came right at me, and his knee was about a foot taller than my head, and it's huge, and he was not the biggest one either. He came over to get me, and all of a sudden, a rock appeared on my hand, and I threw the rock at him, and that took care of it. But my dependence was on God. My dependence was, I knew that I was not going to make this if God didn't. God, you know, I'm going down. He'll crush me. He'll reach in there. Touch, you know, I'll be like an ant, like a you know, ant or squirrel. It's like not much, you know. Like, oh, going down. And so God really bring you to that place. God's saying, get behind the door. It's not like you're hiding from. It's when God says, you know, I'm going to protect you, he gives us instructions on how to protect. If people would have been standing outside, yeah, we got the blood of the door. Let's go outside and play soccer. You know, we're protected because we've got the blood of the door. No, God says get behind the door and be hidden in there. And then once that passes over, then you're going to enter into, you're going to go to the neighbors and get the wealth, and then you're going to leave. And it was kind of like the last moments of that season that they were in, 400 and something years, 430 years, I think, something like that. And then it was over. But they had to make it through that, right? The last plague came to Israel. The last flesh plagues are coming through the body of Christ, except we're going to be covered, but we're going to have to obey God and make sure it find our protection. You know, the blood protected the household. And God said, get behind the door and lock the door, so to speak. Do not go outside, because death was everywhere. And when the death was over, they were protected. You're protected, Regina. Then the provision. So there's something about some provision God's opening up in Jesus' name, so you can walk out of that season, walk out of that era, I guess. It was like 400-something years, so it was a long time, to walk out of that and a whole new beginning with provision and money in your pocket, food, and change, and moving out and, you know, moving into a whole other place. Yeah, and having provision in your hand to do it with. Open that up, God. Develop that. Bring that forth, Jesus, and supernatural God. We can't do it without you. All the things that are going to go on in the next few years, if we're not hidden in God, not being cowards, hidden in God, knowing that we can't fight these giants, we can't win this on our own. We got to have you, God. We got to have you. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. And that's the key to the victory. Whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. You tell me to get behind that door, I will get behind that door. I'm not going to act brave and go, oh, I don't need to get behind that door. I'm not a coward. I'm going to go out there and watch the angel come by. Yeah, and you'll be dead. Because the Bible, because God says, get behind the door. Amen. And for your protection and safety, when that season's over, that moment's over, that death moment is over, then there's going to be a wealth transfer. Amen. That's awesome. All right. 903-808. Who am I talking to, Regina, please?
This is Janie from Texas.
All right, Janie. Love it. I know Janie a long time. I know Janie longer than anybody, I think. And very faithful, loyal to God person. This one of the persons, you know, people God brings us. We have many of them. I can say this about a lot of people, everybody that I know, but, you know, part of the family. But I'm telling you, man, it's like one thing I see with you is that it's you're we all feel alone. We all that alone thing. And I explained that tonight. That's never going to go away. It's only for God. You know, we kind of know that already, but I'm really getting into that, of why that loneliness is always there, why it never goes away with any of us. Sometimes we just, you know, get occupied and try to make, you know, okay, I'm not lonely, I'm not lonely, I'm lonely. No, we're lonely because we're made to be lonely without Him. So our fellowship, we only get satisfied, that lonely spot only gets satisfied with Him. So we kind of know that now, right? And then there's the other part of it where what I see God doing with you is connecting you to the body of Christ as a person of, you know, respect and honor, and God showing people and God feeling and sensing about you, Jeannie, what you've done unto Him that, you know, most people don't even know about. You know, things you've done for Him, things you've been honoring, you've honored Him and blessed Him and taken care of His stuff and put Him first. Therefore, He's going to raise you up among His family to be a big sister. We need to be a big sister, to be a mother. We need to be a mother, to be just, you know, a minister. We need to be a minister, to be, you know, the healer when God needs healing with somebody, whatever the thing is, be a counselor, to be a friend, just hold their hand, whatever it is, to be a part of the family, and God showing you where you fit in, showing you your value, showing you your purpose, and in what way, how you fit into the family of God. And not just PGN, you know, I think just, you know, whoever, but God says, you know, I'm, you know, just like Jesus said, my mothers and brothers who hear are those who hear the word of God and do it. So He connected, not that He didn't love His own mother, because they said, your mother and brother are out here. He went, well, you don't understand, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. He wasn't saying that He didn't love His mother. Of course He loved His mother. See, that's the whole thing again about that there's certain mother and brothers that our own human mother and brothers may not be our mother and brothers spiritually, but they're our mother and brothers naturally. That'll never change, right? Once you're born of your mother and those are your brothers, they'll always be your mother and your brothers. That never goes away. But when God brings you together with a family, a spiritual family, then you get a connection with them, and that's what Jesus was saying. So I'm connected with these people more than – that's what it was, is me with PGN. I'm connected with these people, and I'll never be alone in that sense, by the grace of God, for that sense. So God really opening up this thing of family with you, feeling like you made a covenant, you'll lay your life down for them. They will lay their life down for you. I think you've seen a little bit of that. People, God showing you that He, He's not out to just take things from you. He's out to get things to you. He's out to bless you. He's out to take care of you. He's not just trying to get something out of you. You know, and that's what most people have to deal with. The way the body of Christ is done, the spirit of greed has come upon all of us to a certain degree, and God is delivering, especially the leadership, hopefully, of all the, of that greed. I know He's been working with me in that. I didn't know I was connected. I would have never said I was greedy. I'm not necessarily been a, I'm not a money person. I'm not going to think about that, you know. But at the same time, the merchandising room opened me up to that greed as it did the whole body of Christ. So as that greed thing has been broken, that's what makes people feel threatened by, you know, all they want from me is my money. Well, yeah, in a sense, I think that's true. That really is true. If we feel it, we're going like, where'd that coming from? Coming from that spirit of merchandising. You know, that's just what it creates. And it opens it up in many different ways. So God is breaking it off His people, and He's going to prove to His people that I will lay my life down for you. I'm not trying to get something from you. I'm trying to get something to you and for you, literally. And so, you know, I think you've seen that. You're seeing that. God's showing you that, how real it is, how true it is, and because he's because you are called to do the same thing, to just freely give your life away. And that's going to connect you to the family, where you're going to feel connected, you know, to the family. Like, you can't even explain it. It's unexplainable. It's truly supernatural connections that are truly more powerful than human connections are. God's really going to nurture that, feed that, and give you comfort as a family. Amen. All right, connected to God's family. What a beautiful thing. All right, I love it. All right, 240-482. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Well, hi, Valerie.
Hello.
All right, Valerie. Good to have you. All right, God bless you. Thank you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. God, we thank you, Lord, for that spontaneous breakthrough, that spontaneousness of that. Her ability to be spontaneous. God is, you know, I don't know how spontaneous. I don't even really know you. You don't know me that well. That's first over here on PGN, that's about it. But as far as your life goes. But, you know, I sense God is working in this spontaneous realm. Whatever areas that we lack in, whatever areas we're strong in, He perfects. Whatever areas we lack in, He trains us. So I don't know where you're at on that exactly, but I see God really showing you the spontaneous realm. Love is spontaneous, you know, when you love somebody, like a husband or a child or whatever, you know, love is spontaneous, you know. They walk through the door and you never know, you might hug them, you might kiss them, you might hold them in your arms for 5 minutes, or they might just walk in the door and say, hi, Mom, hey, man, good to see you, man. You know, and so love is spontaneous, and so it's like you don't have a certain thing you do, like, okay, when they walk in the door, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When my husband walks in the door, my wife walks in the door, I'm going to act like this, do this, this. Love just is spontaneous. It's just like, oh, yeah, hi. And, you know, and so it's just like it's a spontaneous thing. And so God moving you into that spontaneous thing of being moved by love. You know, all of a sudden I just, no, I don't normally do that. Well, all of a sudden it's like spontaneous takes over and goes, well, I'm doing things I never thought I would do just spontaneously. What is this? Yeah, it's spontaneous. It's the love of God. It's love. Love is not moved by, you know, nothing wrong with structure, nothing wrong with, you know, structuring out, planning, you know, but and that's all a part of life and it's important. But to spontaneously move with love toward a person is amazing, toward God, toward the things of God, toward, you know, God telling you to do something and you just think, man, I can't believe I'm doing this. I always thought people were flaky that spontaneously did things. Now here I am, you know, more and more doing this stuff. Like, what is it? And God's going to bring you to a blessing, Valerie, of that, and it's all that love. The whole thing behind it is being moved by love. Love's a passion. It's a beautiful passion, my God. Yeah, and there's nothing like it, as you know. And so, yeah, so there you go. All right. Awesome. Spontaneous. 312-841. You want to talk to you real quick, please?
This is Marja from Illinois.
Oh, hi, Marja. All right, Marja. Good to have you, Marja. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Marja. Thank you, Lord God, for that, for the altar in her life, God, that the altar that she, like I used to go out once in a while and clean the barbecue pit, you know, I clean it up and, you know, have, you know, barbecue, cook barbecue stuff all over the place. You know, just I'd go out there with a big steel brush and clean it up, you know, and, you know, make it look better. You know, some of that stuff in there probably smoked the chicken or the meat or whatever makes it taste better, right? So I go out there and get so bogged down, it's so clogged up with, you know, juices and just stuff that come, you know, from a barbecue pit. So I go out there and I'm taking the iron, you know, brush and the metal brush and I'm scraping stuff and cleaning stuff with a, you know, scraper. Or, you know, it's like, and I saw you like doing that with your altar. It's like refreshing your altar, Marja, with God. And God, it's like a God thing. It's not like something you decide to do. Oh, I think I just cleaned this up and you got to make it better. It's like refreshing your altar time with God. You're the altar. The altar is not something you have, you know, in your bedroom or in the house somewhere, in the closet or whatever. The altar is within you. And I see God refreshing your altar, like making your altar, like refreshing and renewing it. And where you offer up things to God, your prayers, your time, your things, like, because your altar is inside you. So wherever you go, whatever you're doing, whatever you're thinking, you know, whatever's going on, are you learning how to offer that up to God and keep it, keep the stress. Sometimes stress comes and anxiety comes because we're not offering those things to God. They pile up inside of us. It happens to all of us. And so we learn how to keep our altar, you know, fresh and clean up where like we continue offering things. And I see you using your altar a lot more, the altar that's within you, like learning, you know, every day, you know, like you offer up things every day. You don't wait till the end of the week. You don't wait till the end of the month. Like you offer up, God, I offer this up to you now. This belongs to you. This is yours. God, you're my Savior, my Lord. God, I don't know what's going on. I give this to you. Hallelujah. And offering things to God in a sweet-smelling savor, like God going, man, that girl, like, whoa, look at it. She's just offering stuff up all the time. This is like, we've got to pay attention to what she's doing. And I see God paying attention to what you're doing because you're like, you know, like doing that. Like, you know, you find out that your altar time is not just in your closet or in the car. It's wherever you go. And God opening you up to that. I know you already know that, but opening it up to you in a very more powerful way to where it keeps you from, you know, at the end of the week, you're stressed out and, you know, anxiety and stress, you know, just from the week, you know, it's like at the end of the week, you don't have that so much, you know, maybe a little bit of it, but it's like daily. Give us this day our daily altar time, you know, where we're offering things up, you know, keeping ourselves, you know, because things come against us all the time. People say ugly things, rude things. We got to offer those things up to God. God, I give that to you. I offer that to you. I don't let people pile on their stuff for me all week long. At the end of the week, I'm going, okay, Jesus, now that I'm loaded down, all this stuff, I think I'm going to give it to you. I'm just feeling really down. You know, sometimes I still do that, honestly. But I learned how to just keep it in God's hands. My altar is always, I'm working it, man. Like, God, I give that to you. Yeah, that said to me, hurt my feelings. God, I give that to you. I give that to you, Jesus. Give that to you, Jesus. And when I don't do that, I find myself, you know, being bitter or forgiving, you know, just having thoughts go through my head that I'm going like, oh my God, where'd that come? Get that altar going, boy. Get that altar going. Yeah, start smoking that thing, offering things up, you know, keeping it, you know. Yeah, it's yeah, whatever that is, it's awesome, awesome. And your relationship with God, like passion, and you know, and just in your life going smoother, you know, not. So many ups and downs, and ups and downs, and ups and downs, but like a smoother road, right? Emotionally, mentally, and everything. Amen. All right, 847-239. Who am I talking to, real quick, please?
Hello, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for her feet. Thank you, Lord, for her feet. That God's showing you your walk, that it's not about just praying, you know, going somewhere. It's about what you walk into, where you're walking, what you're walking in. What do you know, when they crossed over Jordan, you know, they put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, right? And they put their feet in the water, and the water opened up because of their feet. So, you know, I mean, they could have done anything. They could have been a rod. They could have, you know, Moses put his rod in the water, and it opened up. They could have done anything. They could have thrown, you know, seaweed in there and go, yeah, God says, throw seaweed in there. That'll open it up. You know, anything could open it up, whatever God wanted to do, but he wanted to put their foot in there. It's like I see you in your walk with God, putting your foot in that place to where, you know, like God, you know, having crossed over, you know, it's been great. I'm ready, you know, we're ready to cross over now. We're ready to move in. And, you know, the old generation's passed away. And, you know, so your feet become important. And as soon as they put their foot in the water, with the Ark of the Covenant on their back, you know, the waters just open up just like that. So I see, I don't even want to say what I'm saying, but I see like your walk with God, your, because where we walk and how we walk, wherever the soles of your feet tread, it shall be yours. But, you know, you have to walk it out in the spirit. You have to walk it out in deliberation, God. My walk with you every day is my love for you, my fellowship with you, my prayers to you, my walk is like I walk with you, God, where we go with. So you're going to realize the power in your feet. You know, behold how good and how pleasant it is. The feet of those that bring good news, right? The feet of those who bring good news. So there's something about your feet. Stephanie and God is dealing with that. So that when you, you know, of course, when God says and you step into something, it opens up for you. Like, boom, like, wow. I never opened it before. All of a sudden, whoa, is my walk with God, my feet. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. And so you walk with God and the power of that. Why it's so important to walk with God? Because your feet, you know, are everywhere you go, your feet are first thing, you know, like hit the ground. You know, like that's what gets you there. Your feet are like what, you know, touch the ground, touch the earth. And where you go and how you get there, and you know, so you walk, you know, as far as, and Jesus said, so open that up, God, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, the foot realm, in Jesus' name, let the foot realm come forth, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, 402-605.
Hey, Randy, it's John from Omaha.
Oh, hey, John. All right. Good to have you, John. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Lord, for I actually think God did things in your body, clearing your body out, clearing your colon out, clearing your, like, doing some, you know, and it's not just a, like, in your belly area, the belly areas where we carry things, where things mess with us, my belly's area, when things really mess with me, and it just, like, tears me up. I mean, even physically. You know, that's why I learned how to cast my cares upon the Lord and keep my inner part. But sometimes things just hit you, and, you know, I've had things hit me, and it's like I couldn't do anything about it. It's like it hit me, and I couldn't stop it from hitting me. And when God finally turned it around, I was like, felt like, you know, thank God. Wow, I couldn't seem to get a hold of that thing, and all of a sudden, boom, you broke through, and wow, and the effects of that, of our inner being, of our workings, you know. So, you know, so God is really showing you how to, you know, your inner being, your belly area, your, like I see God clearing out things. I see God washing out things that have you carried for a while. Sometimes we carry things, you know, grief, sorrow, whatever we, you know, mistakes we've made, we carry that, and then one day, like God washes it out, like we get a colon cleanse or something in the spirit realm. We get a belly cleanse. He cleanses our belly. And then just all of a sudden we find ourselves, you know, like feeling clean and, you know, feeling like, wow, what was that? I don't know, but I feel clean. I feel like, wow, my body and my life is functioning better. I'm hearing things. I'm feeling better. I'm, you know, being able to do things better. I can think better. I don't feel clogged up. I don't feel pressured. I don't feel stressed. I don't feel, man, like this. I see God just like, you know, somehow clean that out or wash it out. And we all need that every once in a while. I mean, It's just part of life. Just life is difficult. Life is, you know, we don't know where it's going to go, what's going to go with it. And carrying that on a regular basis, it's just life, you know. Jesus carried him too. He had to learn how to cast his care on the Lord. You know, and he was the Son of God. So with loud crying and tears, Christ, you know, cried out to the one who could deliver him from death. And you know what? Because they were always trying to kill him, man. People don't realize that Jesus was in the zone of, let's kill him. And, you know, even he said sometimes to them, yeah, you're trying to kill me. And they said, who's trying to kill you, Jesus? Like, they knew they were trying to kill him. They were just, they're a bunch of snakes, man, and vipers. A bunch of creepy crawling people. But one thing to just be full of it. It's one thing to be full of it and be deceptive about it. God. Anyway, where did I go with all that? Thank you, Jesus, for that information. And, so he had to learn how to keep the Cassius Gate, to save him from death. That's what I was talking about, to save him from death. And I've looked at the scripture and going, save him from death? He wanted to die on the cross. I wonder about dying on the cross. What was the death part? He's trying to keep him alive until he can get to the cross, right? Keep us alive. Keep him alive. Keep me alive, God, until I make it to the cross. I know I'm going to die then, but don't let me die too soon. Deliver me from death. Because, you know, he had to depend on the Father to deliver him from death, you know. And find the scripture in looking for with loud crying and tears. And that's so you can Google it. And he cried out to the Father who could deliver him from death. I mean, he was crying out loud, out loud crying. He was a passionate prayer person. And, you know, because, I mean, his life was threatened probably every day, I don't know, on a regular basis for sure. They were always trying to kill him, always trying to trip him up and get him killed. But they couldn't touch him until the time of the Father. So, all right. Yeah, there we went. I don't know where we went, but we went somewhere. All right, 940-224. Are you there?
Michael.
Oh, hi, Michael. Okay, Michael from Texas. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Michael, God. I thank you, Lord, for the encouragement. I thank you for that that holy spiritual warfare in Jesus' name to teach him how to, like, blow the shofar type thing, like blowing the shofar. Like, I know you may not have a shofar. I don't have a shofar. But I have a shofar in my spirit. You know, we can blow the shofar and blow it and, like, you know, cry out to God. It's like I never thought about that until right now. It sounds like a coyote or, you know, dog. You know, dogs like, I love it when they do that. I don't know what that's about, but it's like that's a chauffeur, you know. It's a, I'm a sorry chauffeur. Anyway, but so something about that, I don't know what that is. That's really unusual. I never heard it before. God unlocking your chauffeur, bro. Your chauffeur. Unlocking it to where it can cry out and move and let things, that, you know, sound the alarm, you know. And like, or whatever. They're sounding the alarm. There's, you know, everything's good, you know. Whatever, you know, different times of the day. I never know what shofar is all about. Like, it's 1 o'clock. Something like that, you know, timing and your shofar, the cry of your heart, the cry of your soul, learning how to cry out from your soul and not just a surface cry. You know, I don't know if I'm talking about crying with tears. I'm talking about the crying out of my heart, you know. I'm talking about the crying out of our heart, the crying out of our soul. There's times I went through a lot of different things learning how to do that. And one of the things I used to do out, literally I used to go out in the country when nobody could hear me, and I'd just scream out, you know, let all the practice. So somebody told me I could do that and it'd be good. And it did. It was temporary, but it was better than nothing. When I got through screaming and hollering, letting it all out, I could feel things going out of me, man. That's my shofar, bro. That's what I'm talking about. It's blowing it out. Getting that thing blown out, man. Get it out of me. And literally, I mean, it's temporary. But it let out a lot of stuff. I'll never forget that.
They do it for real long, but so something like that. God's showing you how to do that in your prayer time when you're giving things to God, where you cry out from the depth of your soul and get it all out in the open. Amen. And, you know, where it can be, you know, spilled out. Broken and spilled out for love of you, Jesus. My most precious treasure poured out for thee. Yeah, poured out, poured out, poured out, poured out, Jesus. Poured out, my brother. Awesome, that's awesome. All right, 863-276.
Hello?
Yes.
Destiny
to you
from Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, hi, Destiny. All right, Destiny, thank you. All right. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for the for your full ministry, God, for the full ministry, God. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening up her eyes, you know, at a new level. Like when, you know, when Elisha, you know, had the servant with him, the servant couldn't see, and it's like he got overwhelmed with stuff. It's like he was a man of God. He wouldn't be traveling with Elisha if he wasn't a man of God, because you don't hang out with Elisha. You don't hang out with these prophets of the old, especially back then. Because, like, you better be right with God, living right with God, or, you know. So he was right with God. He was a good person. Didn't get, yeah, had a God passion, or he wouldn't have been with Elisha. But God, you know, Elisha had to open up his eyes so he could see. And so I thank you, Lord, for opening up her eyes at a whole other level that she's never seen before, God, that she can see that there's more for her than there are against her, in Jesus' name, and where the enemy can't come in and tell her, oh, you know, like he did Elisha's servant. You know, they were surrounded with an army, and it's like there was no way out. There was no way out. In the next room, no way. You're not going to make it out of that one. You know, this is, you're going down. It's like whoa. And so, you know, and he was feeling it. Elisha's servant was feeling it. So Elisha's sitting there having to listen to him and feeling, oh, Father, what are we going to do now, man? They're surrounded. We're all going to die. I wish I'd never come out here with you, because we're all going to die now. And that's literally what the atmosphere was, death. They were going to die. The king was coming to take him out because he was telling the secrets of strategies of the enemy to Israel. And Israel was winning the battle because Elisha was telling. So they were coming to kill him and his servant. So open up her eyes, God, in Jesus' name, that she will see that delivered him from that anxiety. That delivered him from that. Is God going to protect me? Is God going to take care of me? Is God going to watch over me? Is God in Jesus' name? That was like a deliverance in a sense. And how many times if when God opened my eyes out and just like delivered me from fear about, oh my God, am I going to make it through this? What's going on? And we can really have good faith in some areas. Other areas, our faith is like, uh-oh, we can't even find our faith in that area because of certain things that we've been wounded by, hurt by. So I thank you, Jesus, for helping the Destiny, God, to open her eyes, God, in those areas where she's blinded. It's like with me, you open my eyes, you know, I go, dear God, open my eyes, and I can't see a thing over there. I can see really good over here, but I can't see over here. Open my eyes. I always have areas of weaknesses where I need God to open my eyes, and then it just delivers me from, then I know God, who God is. I don't have to, you know, do anything but trust him. So I thank you, Jesus, for a whole other level for her, God, to deliver her, Jesus, and set her free and help her open her eyes, God, so she can see deeper, further, in Jesus' name. Okay. Okay. All right. Angela says, pray for two. Okay, so I'm getting close to you. All right, 225-5454. Hello?
Hello.
Who am I talking to you real quick, please?
Hey, this is Karen calling from Louisiana.
Oh, hey, Karen. Hi, right, Karen. Good to have you tonight, Karen. Thank you, Jesus, for God. I thank you for breathing her nostrils, this breath of fresh air. God, just like, you know, when you get up in the morning, you know, you drink your coffee or whatever you drink. I drink coffee in the morning. And I take my vitamins. It's like my mouth, like my breath. Like, oh my God, here. I need a refreshing, you know, like, so there's something about just, you know,
refreshing, like you, like God breathing in you this minty, you know, that minty fresh, but it's not just your mouth or your breath or your, but it is in your nostrils, into your lungs, into your being, like he's breathing this fresh spearmint or whatever, this minty, you know, taste and feel and say, like, wow, man, whoa, like you breathe into my nostrils. And all the old, you know, feelings, all the old things that the struggles that we go through and feeling like yesterday's stuff is old, you know, yesterday's stuff, not 10 years ago, yesterday's stuff is old, I need something new. And breathing, show her how to receive the breath of God, that fresh, minty, beautiful, you know, clean, minty freshness, the refresher God. Breathe into her nostrils, my God. Fill her with the Holy Ghost, God, in this Jesus' name, this power of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, and saturate her, Jesus, right now by the power of God, so she can sleep good at night, so she can breathe good at night, so she can, her spirit man can be free to roam around in the spirit and go places and do things, in Jesus' name, for what things that need to be done, things that she can't do in the natural, because your spirit man can go places, right? Your spirit man is a whole different part of you. The spirit man can go through walls, you know. Your spirit man can do all kinds of things. Your spirit man can travel. Your spirit man, like Paul got caught up in the third heaven, he knew in his body, out of his body, that's a spirit man. His body probably never left, but his spirit man left, and he went places and came back. So thank you, Lord, for opening that dimension for my sister, because she can go places, do things with God, and take care of business. In Jesus' name, open up that dimension for her, Father, that fresh breath. Fresh air in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yeah, Karen. Wow, that's awesome. All right. 912-246. Can I talk to Ruth, please?
Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela Joy, Georgia. All right. So you sent me a text. Thank you, Angela, for that. Pray for Bon Clark, a man of God and a prophet. You're in Southeast Georgia. Very out suffering from complications. He's suffering from complications of COVID. Hey. Oxygen levels are low and unstable today. And also in prayer for you. Yeah, okay, yeah, gotcha. Thank you for that. That's what I love about text, man. We can do things here. We can do things in the spirit by text. That's the word from God. We can do things in the spirit by text. God, we just pray for Vaughn Clark in Jesus' name, a man of God. We thank you, Jesus, for those complications of his with COVID and the oxygen levels and all that. God, we thank you, Jesus, for breathing. You know, it's amazing. I just gave my sister before you a word about the breathing fresh. You know, because what I saw was like breathing into his nostrils. Well, you know, I think about the same time you sent me that text as I was talking to her. I think I'm not sure exactly when you did that, but. About 5 minutes ago. So here I am giving that word, and then you know you give me this prayer request. So I thank you, Jesus, for breathing the fresh breath of your spirit into his nostrils, God, in the name of Jesus. Give him hope, God. Give him strength. Give him your spirit brings hope. Your spirit brings that freshness of, yeah, I got something to live for. I got something to go for. Let him realize he has something to live for, God. For you, for show him new purposes, show him new events that you want him to be a part of, to broaden him, to stretch him, to bring him into, to stretch his tent score, God, in Jesus' name, to usher him into new places, in the name of Jesus, God, places he's maybe not seen before or neglected to step into because maybe it wasn't the right time, the right season. Thank you, Lord, for covering him in Jesus' name. Amen. And breathing that holy oil, breathing holy oil into his being right now, the hot oil of heaven. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Lord, for Angel Joy, I thank you, Lord, for Angel. I thank you, Lord, for this new season. Of the heartbeat of God. It's the third word I've given about heartbeats tonight. My first word, somewhere in the middle, Heartbeat of America, and now the Heartbeat of God. I thank you, Jesus, for the Heartbeat of God. I thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're bringing the spirit of understanding so we can understand the times and the seasons that we're in. Understanding the times and seasons that we're in, you know, helps us to pray. You know, we don't pray our own prayers so much, you know, in the sense that we pray, you know, in the times and the seasons that we're in. You know, there's the times and seasons. Let me see. I think the book of Acts, to know times and seasons that I have appointed for you. All right. Jesus said in the book of Acts, Acts 1:7, there we go. Yeah, he says, let me go to this. I don't know what it's going exactly, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. I'll have the next scripture. I don't like what this thing. Okay, hold a second. Okay, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father said in his own authority, but you will receive power. Oh, wow. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Wow, that's pretty interesting. That's the book of Acts. That's, so it's off, you know, the time. So thank you, Lord, that you bring angels of joy into that thing, the heart of the times and the seasons that we're in, because, like, you know, after Jesus died on the cross and then the day of Pentecost came, everything changed for them. There was a new time and a new season. Everything was changing. They were no longer in the season that they were in, like trying to, you know, cast out devils. You know, Jesus said, and the devils wouldn't come out, and things didn't happen. Why? Because the time of the season hadn't come. You know, and Jesus said, you know, the Father would say to Jesus, how come your disciples couldn't cast the devil out? Because it wasn't time or season. This time, so when the book of Acts came, the Holy Spirit was poured out. He entered into another time and another season. And the Lord says we have to understand that the time and seasons are everything, because that's what unlocks, the power was unlocked in Peter. The power was unlocked in his people. And he says, it's not for you to know the time or season which Father put in his own hand. But when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, you will witness in Jerusalem. So it was a whole new season, a whole new time going on. So we're into that season of time, angels of joy, and God's showing you how, you know, what, you know, like things that didn't work before will be workable now. Will be because, but we got to remember, we're in a new time and a new season. So we think different. We think, you know, Joshua entered in to a new season, a new time. The way he didn't just go in there and get the warriors and take down the walls of Jericho, right? God said, told him, gave him instructions, told him what to do. And he wouldn't walk around it without talking, you know, for days. And then all of a sudden, they shouted and played the music, whatever they did, and the walls of Jericho came down. It's like, you know, that was the new day and the new season that they were in. They couldn't do things like Moses did. You know, God had him do, you know, so God's showing you new strategies, new things that we're doing, the new things that God is doing, the things that God is doing, and being able to you know, adjust. You know, that's the thing we always talk. We've always talked about this. You know, the old people, the old Pentecost, you know, or whatever, like, you know, they couldn't change. You know, they were stuck in their old stuff. And so that's what Israel, well, they died in the wilderness because they got stuck in their old stuff. But Joshua and Caleb, they were old too. Joshua was 40. Joshua was 40. Caleb was like 80. And they went in.
It's not about age, right? It's about being able to adjust and do what God says, and that's why God was able to open up the land to him. And so God opened her up to that arena of the times and the seasons that we're in. The power of the Holy Spirit comes and opened up a whole new season, a whole new time. Now, they were not just casting out devils. Maybe the devil came out, maybe it didn't. Now it's like, my God, everything starts happening. You know, they're raising people from the dead. You know, it was like everything shifted because of the time and the season that they were in. So God opened up Angela Joy's eyes to the time of the season that she's in for her, what's going on with her, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. And the faith, and your faith is going to accelerate. Your faith is going to come to a whole new level in this time and season. It's like it did with Peter and James, all of them just completely changed. Everything changed. Why? Because the Holy Spirit came upon them. And really, really amazing. So I thank you, Lord, for letting that be done. I command it to be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So he kept saying these things. They were all looking at him, and he was taken up into a cloud, received out of their sight. So a whole new beginning had happened. While they were looking steadfastly into the sky as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white clothing, saying, "Ye men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus is going to come back." All right. She saw him go. Okay. So I'm not sure we've met, but thank you, Jesus, for Angela. And hallelujah. Yeah, amen. That's what I'm saying. Like the time and the season, man. Like they tried to do all that stuff before, and it's like maybe it worked, maybe it wouldn't. You know, we've all dealt with that, right? But when the time and season came in, it changed everything. Things just started popping. And I command those things to pop in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, everybody. I think that's my last caller tonight. Thank you, Angela Joy. Thank you, everybody. It's only 11:35 or something like that. But it's time. I'm praying faster, I guess, something like that. I don't know what's going on. Cool, though. I like it. All right. So we're going to call it a night. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right, everybody. I'm going to hit it. I'm hitting the road, so to speak. I'm going to go bye-bye. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for growing with us. And thanks for your support mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and, of course, financially. Thank you for all that. And God is good. He's really good all the time. Amen. Bye-bye.